What a blessing this morning. I missed out in Charlottesville recently. The Gettys were in Charlottesville, and so I got to hear them this morning through you guys. So thank you so much for leading us during that time of offertory and a time of giving back to the Lord. And let me just say thank you for the way that you've been giving to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and as you continue to give this morning. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Not so happy so far. You didn't have your black-eyed peas. I'm excited to be back with you this morning. A lot of has happened from the time that I was here previously to now. First of all, let me just say what a blessing it is for you guys, the pastor and shepherd relationship that you have with Pastor Jeff, and he's got off to a great start here at the church, and we're excited about what the Lord is doing through his leadership, but also through you as a congregation. Praise the Lord for the way that he blessed through Bethlehem Walk again this year. Amen. So I think I heard about 15,000 came through. I think there had to be limited numbers because of the season. And it was a very difficult, tough season for you guys with COVID, the homegoing of some dear saints here in the congregation as well. So I've been praying for you. And thank you for the way that you've been praying for me as well. I had a dear brother that came up to me and said, I've been following on Facebook. And yeah, it has been a difficult season, but a good season. The Lord has been faithful through it all. The homegoing of my father-in-law, who was a pastor and mentor to me in October, and then my mother-in-law passed away in December. And now I'm in my eighth week of daily chemotherapy, and that is working so well, you guys. God is so good and so faithful. So thank you for the way that you've been praying. That just reminds me, though, as we think back and reflect on 2021, and we can maybe go back and reflect on 2020 and 2021, and now we're approaching 2022. This is a reminder to me to keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing. The main thing. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. So simply today, we're going to be focusing on John 3:16. And let me just say this, as Pastor Jeff is getting ready to lead you in this series about the church going outside of the walls, we better get this right first, right? The gospel. Because we're taking Jesus to them. So maybe we need to hear it from some children. Watch this.
John 3:16.
For God so loved the world.
The whole world.
Everyone.
Anyone.
That's a lot of people.
That he gave his one and only son.
His only son.
That whoever believes in him will not perish.
But have eternal
life.
Wow. Right? Why don't we say that verse together? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And this isn't in Scripture, but wow. Wow. And let's not forget verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So as we have just celebrated the birth of Jesus this Christmas, let me encourage you that God's purpose for sending his Son to earth was to seek and to save that which was lost. And if we believe in him, we will be saved. It's that simple. Wow. Nicodemus, a Pharisee and a respected teacher, was schooled in the Old Testament scriptures. I mean, he was a student of the Word, but he didn't comprehend Jesus' reference to the need for a new birth, even though the prophet Ezekiel had used similar language. He just couldn't believe that salvation was that simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. How can that be? And yet it is. And there's still that case that's happening in many of us today. There are many people who have grown up in Christian homes, gone to Christian schools and colleges, been students of the Word for many years, have memorized Scripture, and yet they have a hard time comprehending that salvation is for whosoever believes in Jesus as the Son of God will have eternal life. It's that simple. Trusting Jesus, committing your life to Him, is the one and only requirement for salvation. It's not about our knowledge. It's not about our good works. It's about believing on the Lord Jesus. So I want you to look at this slide. Martin Luther calls John 3:16 the heart of the Bible. It's the gospel in miniature. God, it begins with God, who is the greatest lover. By the way, He loves unconditionally. He loves everyone. God so loved, that's the greatest degree. He's willing to give His only Son. God so loved the world, that's the greatest number. The world is an infinite number of people. It's all people. That He gave, which is the greatest act that we can have and make is giving. That He gave His only begotten Son, which is the greatest gift. Jesus is the greatest gift. He's not just good news. He is great news. He is the best news. That whosoever, the greatest invitation, it's for everyone who believeth, which is the greatest simplicity. All you have to do is believe in your heart. Believe in who? Believe in Him who is the greatest person, Jesus, sinless Son of God, the Savior of the world. If we would believe in Him, we should not perish, which is the greatest deliverance from death. But instead, we would have, which is the greatest certainty. It's not that you hope that you might have everlasting life. You will. The greatest certainty, everlasting life, which is the greatest possession. We have the abundant life and the eternal life. Heaven for all eternity. The simple truth is this. God loves people more than anything. We were created for His purpose, and He's given us dominion over every living thing on this earth. So He values people more than anything else that He has created and would give up His only Son for people. Wow. That's love. And as we approach the new year, 2022, if we want to be more like Him, then we too will love others the way that He loves. And He loves people more than anything else. Someone has said, if we want to have joy in 2022, then, and you know this acronym, then Jesus first, J first, O of joy, O is other second, and yourself last. J-O-Y, Jesus, others, yourself. So outside of your relationship to the Lord Jesus, we are to love others more than anything else, more than our homes, more than our cars, more than our vacations, more than our retirement, more than our accomplishments, more than our positions, our job titles, our promotions, our money, more than anything else. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." So consider this as you face the new year. What are you treasuring in this life? Where is your heart? Are you treasuring things or are you treasuring people? Which are more important to you? Because if it's based on our spending of money or if it's based on our spending of time, I'm afraid that many of us would find out that our treasure and our heart is not for people. God loves people more than anything, and so should we. Amen? Over the past several weeks, we've been emphasizing international missions and the Lighting Moon Christmas offering. And the reason churches give collectively during this season is so that thousands of missionaries around the globe can share with thousands of people the good news of Jesus, with every tribe and every nation. There's nothing wrong with church mission trips. I'm always encouraged by mission trips and partnerships and projects. But without the gospel, is it missions or is it good works. If we're going on a mission trip once a year and repairing homes and helping build churches and feed the hungry and dig wells, but we're not telling them the greatest love story about how Jesus came and lived and died and rose victoriously for them, then we're just doing good works that will last for a finite period of time. But if we share with them the good news of the gospel and they trust Jesus with their lives, what we have given them will last for all eternity. It's not a once-a-year mission trip. The Great Commission teaches us that as we are going. So as believers, as Christians, if we're going to be more like our Heavenly Father, we should be living a missional lifestyle. It's an everyday lifestyle in order to lead others to Jesus. So it's not a once-a-year mission trip. It's not a once-a-season conviction when we give to missions, but it is a lifestyle. For those of us who have made New Year's resolutions, have you made any New Year's resolutions? And you're shaking your head, nope, not doing that, because can't keep them, right? And maybe you have about dieting or losing weight. And if you're like me, I've made those resolutions, and then I gain it back, and then I make the resolution, and I lose it again, and then I gain it back. And so we will try all kinds of diets. There are all kinds of fad diets. There's the Atkins diet. There's Weight Watchers, Nutrisystem, Keto, for a temporary fix. But when I go to the doctor and talk to a nutritionist, they say, you don't need a diet. We need a lifestyle change so that it will become a natural way of life. It becomes who we are. This is what we eat. This is what we drink. This is our lifestyle. Well, folks, we were created by God and for God. So as believers, we can't just proclaim the gospel on certain days or when we feel like it. It has to become a lifestyle. It's a missional lifestyle. That's when we are disciplined and we practice it long enough that it becomes a natural way of life. That is the way it is with our physical diet. That's the way it is now with our spiritual diet. It's a lifestyle, a missional lifestyle. So let's consider this morning God's missional lifestyle as we look at John 3:16. First, for God so loved the world. This is proof that God loves people more than anything. So much more that He gave His only Son for people. Not just certain people, but for all people. That's short people, and tall people, and fat people, and skinny people, and American people, and Korean people, and Iranian people, and Japanese people, and black people, and white people, pretty people, and not so pretty people, dirty people, smelly people, drunk people, people who persecute us, abusers, gay people, straight people, all people. I needed to hear that, just to be honest with you. I was asked to participate in a funeral recently, and when I walked into the room, it was filled with people who were not like me. I should have known that because many of the family were outside smoking, long hair, scruffy, some had been drinking, pretty raw, rough speaking. And here I was to minister to this family who was not like me. And by the way, I'm going to be expected to hug them, which is going to result in my clothes smelling like smoke. And to be honest, at that moment, I didn't want to do it. But I did. And the Lord convicted me that God loves them. And so should I. God gave His Son for them. Jesus died for them too, just like He died for me. He died for all people. A few years back when the Olympics were in South Korea, I had an opportunity to go and be a part of what was called a Bible outreach project, where we were passing out scriptures in different languages on the street. And that's when we ran into Johnny Weir, who's walking alone on the streets, shopping in local boutiques. Johnny has been a U.S. figure skater champion. He's been on the Olympic team multiple times, and he's now a sports commentator. He's openly gay, pretty flamboyant about it, wears his hair up in fancy do's and feminine clothing, and carries around a purse. So you have to know that when I see him approaching, I begin to say to myself, avoid him. He's not going to be interested in what you're talking about anyway. And that's what Satan will do, folks. That's what Satan will have us to believe. He's the father of lies, right? And so as we approach him, he is intrigued by what we're doing. He's actually receptive, and he says, that's a nice gesture that you all are doing. And he took a Bible. He took God's word. Now, he didn't pray to trust Jesus on that particular day, but he has the word of God in his hand. And as I left there with our team, we began to say, you know what? Jesus died for Johnny Weir, too. And I can't afford to pick and choose whom I will share. When I'm living this missional lifestyle, I will have to share with everyone I come in contact. Those who smell like smoke, and even those who choose a gay lifestyle. So if I'm going to live this godly missional lifestyle, I'm going to have to love people, all people. So first, God so loved the world. Secondly, that he gave his only son. Giving is an action word. If we love the people the way that God does, then it's going to require action. So let me give you a real practical acronym of ways we can act and show God's love to people. The acronym is ARMS, A-R-M-S. You might want to write this in your bulletin, A-R-M-S. Number one, first, the A, is to accept people as they are. However you find them, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, God created them. Accept people as they are. That's the A. The R is to reach people where they are. In other words, go to them. As Pastor Jeff is going to be saying, it's not in these walls. We've got to go to them. Don't wait for them to come to you. Don't wait for them to come to church. We've got to reach people. So A is accept. R is reach. M is meet people's needs. As you discover the need, meet the need. Meet the need with reckless abandonment. In other words, don't wait for a committee. Don't bring it back to the church. Don't wait for a vote. Be obedient to the Holy Spirit's prompting and his timing. A lady and her daughter met me after worship on the very Sunday after the riots had happened in Charlottesville. And the Lord had laid upon her heart to go to the streets, to pass out Bibles, to offer Bibles, and to just love on people. She didn't bring it before the missions committee. She didn't bring it before the deacons. She just did it. Meet the needs with reckless abandonment. Meet needs by developing long-term relationships, not just a one-and-done act of kindness. Not a one-shot deal, but ongoing relationships. Meet the needs of people right around you, where you live, where you work, where you play. So accept, reach, meet, and then the S is share the gospel at every opportunity. I know we have talked about Bless Every Home as a strategy to introduce your church, and several of you have been faithful in doing this, praying for five of your neighbors on a daily basis. Prayer is the launch pad. It is the first step. But after praying for your neighbor, the Lord opens our eyes to see their needs, and we begin to care for them. And when they know that you care for them, they will become more open to hearing the gospel and receiving the gospel. And then we might have an opportunity to lead them into a journey of discipleship. Does that make sense? That's ARMS. Accept, reach, meet, and share with others. So the missional lifestyle is a call to give, a call to action. Love people, for God so loved that he gave, meet the needs, and their greatest need, and we know this, is for salvation, abundant life, and eternal life, and there's none other, no other way, except through through Jesus. So how do we recognize opportunities to give? How do we recognize that it's time to act, that it's time to act? Jeff Orch, who's the president of Gateway Seminary, says this: things happen in people's lives. They're natural times to step in and to meet the needs and share Jesus. He says that there are four times that we need to be prepared to share the gospel. He says, first of all, people die. That's when we step in, because people are searching for comfort and peace and strength that the world can't give them. They can only get through Jesus. We know that you've experienced that within your own church family. I know that we've been praying for the Porches and for the Duttons and for the Waltons and for the Davises as well. You know well the value of family and the church family and friendships in a time of sorrow and a time of loss. That's the time to step in when there's a death. Secondly, when there's relationship struggles. And there are relationships that are struggling right now. There are marriages that are struggling. There's struggles between children and parents or between siblings. There might even be some struggle in relationships between church members. Or maybe there's conflict at work as well. And if that is the case, that is the time to step in and to act and to meet needs. A third time to do that is when health fails. Health fails. If we live long enough, we're going to start experiencing health issues. Everybody says the hearing is what goes first. I think it's selective hearing that goes first. And then the memory, sight, not to mention major medical issues like heart issues or diabetes or cancer, and now we're dealing with COVID as well. But health fails. And that's the time that we can step in. That's the time that we can be the church and meet the needs of others. In the church that I pastor, we had a member who was on dialysis 3 days a week. And I remember very vividly, we scheduled people to take him to the medical center on those particular days. And it was not just picking him up and driving him, but it was helping him get into the medical center and then carrying him lunch and then stopping on the way home at Hardee's and getting him a cheeseburger and an apple pie. This was his routine. But that was the time for the church to step up when health fails. Finally, Jeff Orch says, things break. Things break. Finances break. Oftentimes, there are people who lose their jobs, or you can't get a job, or you can't get accepted into college, or you lose the race, or you lose the game, you lose the contest. And that's an opportunity to step in. Folks, that's what motivates me to share the gospel. God loves them, and so should I. All people. That He gave His Son for them, and I want to give them Jesus too. And it becomes personal. The person I come in contact with this afternoon or tomorrow could have recently lost a loved one. The person I come in contact with could be experiencing marriage difficulties or going through a divorce. They could have a heart condition. Maybe they have cancer. Maybe things in their life are broken. And you and I, we have the answer. We have what they're looking for. We have what they need. For God so loved the world, so loved them, that He gave His only Son for them. And if they would believe on Jesus, they would not perish, but have everlasting life. Right now, as we prepare to respond to God's Word and the leading of His Holy Spirit, I want you to just bow with me for just a moment. I want you to ask yourself this. First of all, do I believe? Do I believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior? Now, I'm talking about believing. You might know of Him, you might know about Him, but do you believe in Him, and have you trusted Him with your life? Secondly, do you know of people who need to receive the love of Jesus through you? Consider their circumstances. Because now could be the time that the Lord is speaking to you about stepping into their life. Consider their circumstance. Do you know of someone who has lost a loved one recently? And so write in your bulletin, maybe this morning, if you want to jot down a name on the back of your bulletin, of someone who has lost a loved one recently, who maybe could use a word of encouragement, or you could show love toward them. Would you just write their name down? Do you know of someone who is struggling in relationships? It could be someone in your family. Could be a neighbor. Maybe they're going through marriage problems. Maybe they're struggling with someone else in the church or a coworker. Would you just write their name down? Because if the Lord has brought it to your attention, He's probably saying to you, now is the time to step into their life and show the love of Jesus to them. Maybe you know of someone whose health is failing. Write their name down. Things break. There are probably people that you know that are going through very difficult times. They just can't even seem to catch a break. They're discouraged over and over again in life circumstances. Would you write their name down? And let's just ask the Lord, of these names that you've laid on my heart, Lord, is this now the time that you want me to step in? Because you love them so much that you gave your son Jesus for them, that if they would believe in him too, they would not perish but have everlasting life. Does someone need to hear and receive Jesus from you? Lord, I know I've committed to you in 2022. More of you in 2022, less of me. Because if I want to be more like the Father, then I will love people. I will value people more than anything else. Jesus first, others second. Lord, may it be so. Father, thank you for the opportunity of hearing the gospel, reading the gospel, receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the opportunity to give the gospel to those who need it. Father, thank you for the opportunity as we begin a new year to focus on the main thing, and that's Jesus. Lord, we are coming to you in need, recognizing that whatever it is we need, Jesus is the answer. And we don't want to be selfish with your son. We want to share the good news as we've been commanded with those in need. So right now, there are names that have been written on bulletins, names on people's mind and hearts. And if you have placed them there, you're calling us to action. Thank you for loving us, and now for the opportunity to love them. And help us to swiftly be obedient to what it is you're asking us to do. Lord, we commit this to you. We ask that if there's someone here who's never trusted Jesus with their life, that today would be the day that they would do that. And for the rest of us, because we have trusted you, then we are to share you with others. So during this time, Lord, you might have us come to the altar and pray for those names that are on the bulletin, on our heart. Pray that we would keep the commitment that we're making today fresh anew in 2022. Lord, help us to say yes to your will and way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand? Let me share with you something as you stand this morning. I received a post from a colleague. His name is David Parks. He used to serve down in Colonial Heights. He posted this quote from The Great Commission Lifestyle by Robert Coleman. It says this, "Now the mission of the church on earth may seem slow and sometimes discouraging, but the ultimate triumph of evangelism is never in doubt. The king is coming. Someday the trumpet will sound, And the Son of Man with his legions of angels shall descend from heaven in trailing clouds of glory, and he shall reign over all. He said, as we begin a new year, I am convinced that God's people must have a greater sense of urgency to share the gospel and see lost people come to Jesus in 2022. This world is not our home, we're just passing through. And as his children, we must do the work of an evangelist and make disciples that make disciples. We must live and love like the Father until the King comes. Is that your prayer this morning as we begin 2022? If it is, let's let the Lord know that we mean business this morning. You respond as he's leading. Mm-hmm.